It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Forget about it. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Can you believe that I was doing this with my fingers for the whole intro? My fingers are tired. Gifa, how's everybody doing today? It is Sunday night. Was it the 14th of August. Oh, my God. 3 weeks from today, I'll be officially off the market, which means that if things go south, you might only get a half a show from now on. Half a microphone, half everything. Nah, we'll be good. We'll be good to go. Trust me, if she gets out of line, you know. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Many thanks for stopping by for a little bit. The Sit Down, if you're not aware, this is a show where I legitimately come in with a blank piece of paper. Might be written on the other side, but it's a blank piece of paper. And you tell me what you want to talk about. You choose the topics. You ask the questions. Super chats are not required. They are appreciated, and they are used for good use. And obviously, you'll always get some VIP treatment that way. But I will be here for the next hour, hour and a half, just sitting back, answer your questions. Now, shout out to our great moderators and friends, Guardian of Chaos and Austin Nance. Believe me, they are much more than just moderators. So much love to you. Much love to everybody who is with me, especially those that are live, because they are the ones that are going to create the content for this show. So without further ado, let's get right into it. And I see that we already have 3 super chats that were sent in. So let's kick off with those. Now, for everybody in the chat, if you want to post a question, just write in capital letters the word question before you write it. It's not to be childish, but I could spot your question quicker. And if I answer it, you know, just wait a little bit before sending another one. This way we could let everybody, you know, we could spread it around a little bit. Lascelles Williams, much love to you, my friend. My thoughts on Vince McMahon never liking Bray Wyatt and pushing him out of WWE. And thank you very much for the 10 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. I don't know if you're going to like my answer. What is that based on? What is that based on? Vince McMahon never liking Bray Wyatt and pushing him out of WWE. Did Bray Wyatt say that? I'm not familiar of any interview. I do know over the last couple of days, I heard that Vince fell out of love with Gunther. Guys, gals, they didn't learn with Keith Lee last year. Remember, Keith Lee pulled from Elimination Chamber because Vince has nothing for him. That actually was kind of true. Vince didn't have anything for him because Keith Lee was in the hospital fighting for his fucking life. This is just to say, did you see? With all due respect, all these reports that came out over the weekend about AJ Francis, you know, top dollar, that is back in WWE, that he had a bad attitude, that he was not very liked in the locker room. My friends, that was a news story in November of 2020, which top dollar, AJ Francis, stepped up and said, yeah, I stick up for B-Fab. Yeah, I stick up for my friends. That's not news. All these people are trying to reel you in to check out their shows, buy their Patreon, buy whatever. This is who said that about Bray Wyatt? Anybody in particular? What about the Gunther stuff? That Vince fell out of favor with Gunther, was going to bury him? Based on what? Don't believe it. If these wrestlers come out and say it, if somebody specific comes out and say it, okay. Then I put a little bit more credence into it. But, you know, Bray Wyatt was one of the most celebrated wrestlers in the company. Sure, he got a bad deal with the Goldberg stuff. And sure, the Fiend turned it. You're going to tell me, when you look back at Bray Wyatt's career, sure, it should have gone further. I'm the first to admit it. Out of every, this is a true fact, everyone, outside of Terry Funk, and I can't use Daphne because most of the stuff I had she gave to me. But outside of Terry Funk, Bray Wyatt is the wrestler of today's generation that I have bought the most amount of memorabilia for myself. Bray Wyatt, whether it's The Fiend, whether it's the David Koresh, whatever you want to call him, Hawaiian shirt, he by far was the most popular prize that I gave away on these shows. You go back and you look at his career, and yes, it should have gone further. You're going to tell me that Vince McMahon never liked him, tried to force him out? I thought Bray Wyatt needed a break mentally. You know, I thought with the passing of Brody Lee shortly thereafter, I thought with him, with his wife, building a family, I thought that those were a lot of the reasons. Don't believe it. Lissell, this could end up being true. But right now, what is it based on? It's based on a whole bunch of people trying to get attention to themselves. I'm answering it because you asked. You made me an offer I couldn't refuse. But seriously, all of you out there, you see anybody talking about this, just use three words. Based on what? You might not like the answer that you get. Are you threatening me? Are you challenging me? Are you threatening me? That's not Beavis. No, it's not. I have to hear his voice first. I don't buy it. Donald, Crack Donald, had a farm. E-I-E-I, ho. Brother, we need an address to send congrats cards for your wedding. Why would I give out an address for someone who has the word crack in their name? Seriously. Nah, I'm joking. Look, I appreciate it. I saw some of you in the watch party. I got DMs, emails. I don't want anybody to feel like you have to send anything. And let me make this clear. Just because people want to send a card, it doesn't mean that, you know, what do we all do Christmas time or birthdays? You get a card, and let's be honest, based on who the relatives are, you don't even read the inside of the card. You just open it up to see what's inside it. But no, seriously, I appreciate it, but it's not needed. It's not necessary. If you really feel you want to send me a card, I'll give you an address, and you know, I thank you, and I will shout you out. But I don't want anybody to feel like they must. But I'll give you the P.O. Box address now. Anybody wants or, you know, needs to write it down, just replay it. But it's easy. P.O. Box 140128, Howard Beach, New York, 11414-0128. That's my snail mail address. I used to have it posted everywhere. And then I pulled it because I don't want anybody to feel like they had to do something. You know, something tells me, though, I don't think anybody will send me drugs again. That still is the creepiest thing. You want to know something? No joke. I'm going to say it. I'm going to just say it. I don't care if it gets me in trouble. You know, I told the story about a month ago again, that back in the day, someone sent me a bunch of pills in a Christmas card to my house. Now, not too many people have my house address. And, you know, to this day, I don't know who it is. But somebody about a month ago sent me an email and said, maybe it was a certain individual who is currently incarcerated. She was notorious for having pills. And I thought about it. I'm like, wow. That is actually interesting because I was getting Christmas cards from Tammy back then. You know, she's a friend. Nothing else. I don't want anybody to think, you know. But I don't think it was her for the simple reason. And Joe, don't get mad at me. But I personally think if she had them, why would she give them away? Like, if I don't take pills, but if I had pills and I enjoy the funny pills, the happy pills, what am I going to give them away to anybody for? What am I getting out of it? Thank you. And I don't even put my name. Thank you. No, I don't think it was her. I will never know who it was. I just don't know how they got my home address. So, all right. One more question, and then we hit the chat room. We hit it with Force, Mike Ravello. Am I preparing for all that walking I'm going to do at Disney? No. My ankle is fucked up from my car accident. I'm already waiting for a disability parking permit because I can't walk that kind of shit. I don't plan on walking as much. I will not get one of those wheelchair things where you ride around, you know, Disney and beep the horn. No. I'm going to try to walk as little as possible. And, you know, there's always someone by the name of Victor Odin that could help me if needed. So some of you will know why I said that. So, you know, I wanted to name a wrestler Victor Odin. But Mass Maniac is like, no, we're not doing that. But damn, I wish he would have done Abul Shita. To this day, I think, oh, that would have been epic. Just hearing on the mic, Steven DeAngelis, you know, introducing from Corona, Abul Shita. All right, let's hit the chat room. Oh, TLD, no, TLD, I didn't use my home address for my LLC. The LLC was only formed about 6 years ago when we started Patreon. Because, you know, what people need to know is when you have a Patreon or you accept anything here, even if it goes right back into the shows and expenses and everything, you still got to pay taxes on it. And I set up the LLC to protect myself in case anything went wrong. And, you know, the first year that it was set up, lo and behold, I ended up getting hit with a $5,000 bill from the IRS that I had to pay. And I was, you know, I paid it, but I was like, oh, thank fucking God it was under my corporation name and not me personally. I mean, that could really hurt me. That $5,000 was not fun. And, you know, I really don't want to tell a story here because I don't want to bring up people from my past. But that was a learning experience. That is a learning experience. But I'll tell you this much, man. You see all those patrons out there and you see all these podcasts with super chats. This is a true fact. About 80 to 85% of them do not claim the money on their taxes. I don't know when it'll happen. I don't know if it'll happen under Biden's regime or whoever the next president's regime is, but sometime over the next 10 years, you're going to hear a gigantic tax scandal, and it's going to involve boatloads of patrons and YouTubers that are collecting money and not paying a dime in taxes for it. It is crazy shit, man. Crazy, crazy. So, all right. So Fly, good evening to you, my friend. If I had the whole roster to pick from, who would I be my first draft pick if I was the GM of Raw or SmackDown? You know, that is a good question. Now, I'm going to choose Roman Reigns. I'll say this. I'll choose one with Roman and one without Roman. I choose Roman because he is the headliner. He sells the merch. He gets the fans there. Roman is the top wrestler in that company. You know, I saw today, it was so cool, Kenny Omega. Somebody threw a little shot at Roman Reigns and said he wouldn't last 5 minutes in the ring with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega showed a lot of love and respect for Roman Reigns today. He said the guy works his ass off. No, I think it would actually be a pretty damn good match. And that's respect, man. You know, not everybody in wrestling is an asshole, whether they're in AEW or WWE or anything else. There's a pride factor. There is no question a pride factor. You want to be proud of the company you work for. But not everybody is an asshole like that. I thought that was really cool. But if it was up to me, I would choose Roman Reigns. The problem is Roman Reigns right now, more limited schedule, getting older in age, has, you know, a couple of health issues in his history, you know, has a family, you know, he's getting, you know. But look, I think we could all agree that, remember all that doom and gloom earlier this year? Oh, Roman stepping back, and this company is fucked, and this and that. Vince McMahon has made over $300 million in the stock market over the last 5 weeks. $300 million. That's 25 more divas. Even though that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know what's funny? Somebody asked me, do I think Vince McMahon will ever get in trouble for his sexual escapades? And I'll get back to the Roman thing in a second, but you know what my honest thinking is? I think if Vince McMahon ever gets in trouble for his sexcapades, it's not going to be for things he has done already. I think he may get into a situation where he, like, maybe hits on somebody or, is, you know, it's something is going to be recorded, and I just think he's going to be cancel cultured out. I think cancel culture will get to Vince if Father Time does not first. Look, there's going to come a day where his pee-pee is going to be like, nah, boss, not tonight. You know, that guy putting all his shit aside, I've said it too, and I know this sounds awful, but you put me in my mid-70s, and I still want to, oh, fuck yeah, give me that. The right way, just with one person. But sooner or later, you know, Vince is going to wake up and somebody's still going to be hibernating. He'll be like, nah, not tonight. And then, you know, he'll just fizzle away. All right. So now, if Roman Reigns is on a limited schedule, who would I choose? This is going to surprise some people, but I also believe that this name will be on a lot of people's list. I would choose Seth Rollins as number one. His work with Cody is spectacular. But his work against a C player on the roster is also spectacular. He makes the lower card look just as good as the main card. I would choose Seth Rollins. I am a big fan of Seth Rollins. I own Seth Rollins merch. Not to show it off, not to get a like, not to get a DM. You know, I do it because I support the guy. I like his work. You know, I know there's a lot of people that, you know, early on that were, you know, I love this stuff. That maniacal, twisted brain. I don't know, man. I am a Seth Rollins fan. I have been for a very long time. So I would choose Seth Rollins. All right. Hustle is a habit. Do I still wear a mask when I go out in New York? If I'm required, yes. I have a doctor's appointment this week, so I have to wear the mask in the doctor's office. Normally, I don't. I will keep a mask in my car, and if I go to a function or something where I'm going to be around a lot of people, I will keep a mask in my back pocket. If I feel threatened, where is an elevated risk, then I'll put the mask on. But I can honestly say 95% of the time I do not wear a mask. This is the God honest truth. Unless I'm required, what I'm doing now is what I've been doing for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years. You know, I do subtle things. You know, this is the thing I think people need to realize. You saw this week about the COVID restrictions being lifted a little bit, that you no longer have to quarantine. Now, yes, this B5 variant is not the same variant as a year and a half ago, but it's still killing people. It's still sending people to the hospital. How is it that you could still now go out? You don't even have to quarantine and take days off anymore. And nobody find that a little bit strange? You know, it's not like the virus is now this itty-bitty little thing that just gives you a little bit of sniffles. You're like, there, I got COVID. No, it's much worse than that. But here's the thing. When I'm in my office, I don't talk to people head-on anymore. What I'll do is pretend you're sitting in a chair in my office. My computer is this way. I'll talk like this. I'll talk like that. So my face is not directly in that person's face. So at the worst, if that person had COVID, and yes, some of my customers have called me up over the last 2 years and said, look, you might want to get checked in case you don't feel well. I unfortunately got COVID and I was in your office yesterday or the day before. you know, and sometimes like, oh, fuck, and I get worried, never got COVID. But when I'm sitting this way, I'm thinking to myself, okay, even if that person had COVID and is just spitting shit, at worst, you know, the virus might be sitting on my shoulder. It's kind of like, you know, the little devil and the little angel. It's like, yeah, breathe me in. You know, I never got it. I never got it. So I feel whatever I'm doing is working. I just, you use common sense, everyone. My brother turned 50 last year. We went, a lot of you know the story already. We went to a restaurant in Long Island. I thought it was just me and my family having this dinner. We walked in, there was 200 people there. And some patriotic song came on, and everybody's screaming at the top of their lungs, singing this song. And I'm looking up, and some of his friends are right on top of me. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I paid for a cab and took a cab all the way from Long Island back to home. I had a panic attack. I just felt that was COVID just waiting to happen. And I left. I felt bad. I apologized to my brother, but I left. That was October, you know. But a week later, I'm in a restaurant. I didn't wear a mask. You use your common sense. You look at your boundaries. You could sense. I mean, nobody's perfect. I could end up getting it still. But, you know, we're smart enough to pretty much know. If someone's coughing, sniffles, sneezing, they sound awful, you don't get in their face. You know, you just, you be careful. So, no, I really don't. Bash 8, happy early birthday, my friend. Rafman is asking, how would my work colleagues describe me? The same way some of you who have met me surprised me in my office. You know, I don't mind meeting people, but I always ask, please do not just show up at my office. It's happened at least a half a dozen times over the last 5 years. People say to me, wow, you are nothing like how you are on the shows. In my office, I am in complete professional mode. You know, I'll be easygoing and everything, but I feel bad because even when people came by the visit, and I have a customer in my office, or I'm on the phone, or I'm doing something, you know, I'm just in that mode, and I am very professional, very serious, and, you know, people are taken back by that. They're like, wow. I mean, what did they actually think? Think when a customer comes into my office, hey, Mike, how you doing? Sit down. Hey, you got that money? I'll break your fucking head if you don't pay your car insurance tomorrow, you scumbag. No, I'm very professional. I have to be professional, you know, but yeah, I am completely different. So fly at COVID before it was nasty. Couldn't sleep laying down. Let me tell you something. I'm off keto now for 3 weeks and I wake up a couple of times and I feel like I got COVID. Like everything hurts. I have the sniffles, but it's actually the keto flu. I've tested myself continuously and I don't have it. All right. Dragon Den. Good evening. What do I think the plan is for Cody under the Triple H regime? Not much different than what was going to happen under Vince. Cody will come back. I believe he will be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. He will win the Royal Rumble. He will take on whoever a champion is at that time, obviously a heel, and he will become heavyweight champion. Maybe it doesn't happen at WrestleMania, but I can't help but close my eyes. Picture that moment, everything, the storyline built with Dusty and everything like that. And who knows, Seth Rollins may be one of your heavyweight champions going into WrestleMania. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying there are some very, very powerful stories. Don't bank on just Cody versus Roman or Rock versus Roman. You know, things do change. But and Triple H does not feel obligated like, oh, we have to do Rock and Roman. Everybody thinks it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Everybody wants to see it. You know, it's not a guarantee. You know, he's got to please the stockholders, the investors, the advertisers, the networks, and the fans. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. And listen, Triple H is not going to throw Kevin Dunn's name out there unless he thought he was had worth. They're not going to throw Bruce Pritchard's name out there if he doesn't have worth. You may not like Bruce Pritchard. There's a lot of wrestlers that do. You may not like Kevin Dunn. I don't know how many actually like him. The point is just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's the way of the highway. Triple H is the executive. You and I are not. Triple H is the one working there. You and I are not. So we could give our opinions. But when people start believing their opinions to be fact, that's where it gets dangerous. And again, you think of all the shit that's been said over the last year and a half. You know, it's very easy. You know, we could throw sausage out there tomorrow. We could say, Vince McMahon never really thought Shinsuke Nakamura was nothing more than just a novelty act. You know, who's going to challenge us? Seriously, look at anybody who really has been there for a while that has not been utilized as good as they should. And we could just go tomorrow and just put Vince and just put any name you want and throw it out there. And is Vince going to call us out for lying? Is anybody? That's how easy it is to lie to people out there. It's my job to try to sift out the bullshit. You know, if it becomes a big topic and it needs to be asked, of course I will address it. The TV-14 stuff was beautiful. There's people now that actually are accusing WWE of holding off on TV-14 because it was leaked out. You know how stupid that is? It's simple. If you understand business, it's simple. Before WWE changes Raw to TV-14, they got to talk to the network about it. They got to talk to the advertisers about it. They got to talk about all. That's a fact. That's how it works. Why people just don't say that, I don't get. But, yeah, it's my job to try to. And I think, honestly, for the last 26 years, I think I've done a pretty damn good job calling out the bullshit when I see it and confirming where I see it. So, Casey is Raw. Thank you for the two spot, my friend. G just wanted a shout out. Everybody live, everybody in the chat. And I shout you all out as well. And I didn't have to super chat. I'm only kidding. Thank you very much, Casey. I hope you're doing good and much love. Thank you for always supporting the shows. And all of you out there, if you're enjoying the show, yeah, I might say it a little bit more often now. Smash that like button. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe. I'm sick and tired of seeing 30,300. But it's authentic. It's authentic. I thank each and every one of you. All right. Do I think the MJF situation has been botched? Can it be salvaged? Oh, yeah. Put him back on TV. Fuck somebody over. People will forget about what happened. MJF situation has been completely botched. Because unless Tony Khan is going to become a character and turn heel, his lack of addressing MJF to the locker room is damaging. And I'll tell you why. I brought this up before, but I'll give you a simplified Cliff Notes answer to it. If MJF never walked out, and this is all storyline, Tony Khan does not want to lie to his wrestlers. So by him saying nothing, he's not lying to anybody. Problem is, you're a fucking booker, a promoter. You're not buddies. You can be friends with some people, but your business first. You got to do storyline. If you swerve your wrestlers, some of them will love it because they are wrestling fans besides wrestlers. So by him saying nothing, if MJF, if it's a storyline, which it has to be at this point, then he kept quiet. Because there's this weird thing like, oh, he doesn't want to lie to his wrestlers. You're not lying. You're a fucking boss. Now, the flip side, if MJF really did quit, the fact that he did not stand up for that locker room, it did not say no one in his company is bigger than AEW. What MJF did, not only did he walk out on me, but he walked out on the fans. He walked out on the wrestlers. And this is not what, I don't care who you like and dislike in wrestling, that's not how you do business. We wish MJF the best in his future endeavors, but what he did is absolutely unacceptable. You send a message to the rest of your locker room why what MJF did was totally inappropriate, unacceptable, and he did not do that. So if it's a legit, he quit, Tony Khan looks like a moron. if it's a storyline, Tony Khan looks like a moron because instead of developing this storyline, he decided to be hush-hush about it because he didn't want the perception of lying to people. That's ridiculous. That's why Tony Khan should have a booker. And Tony Khan should step out. You know, I'm going to mention this now, even though we're going to get into it more on Wednesday. You know why I don't think Tony Khan is just an immature person? Something that I noticed. Juan Espinoza, welcome to the family. Much love. Yes, if you subscribe, your name pops up. I say thank you. Just don't keep unsubscribing and subscribing because then you will not be able to. Anybody notice something about Tony Khan that I have noticed? You know, he's involved with the Jaguars. He's involved in some soccer team, I believe. Do you ever see Tony Khan tweeting like a baby towards Fulham, Pelham, whatever it is? Do you ever see him tweeting like a child to the soccer world? Do you ever see him tweeting like a child to the NFL world? No, no. That should tell you his mindset when it comes to pro wrestling. Some people think, oh, it's just, you know, give him time. You know, he'll just grow out of it. No, this is deliberate. This is deliberate because that shows you how much he hated Vince McMahon, how much he hated Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn, John Laurinaitis, anybody from the previous, anybody that was this, that's, he despised them. Fulham. So, by the way, I want to shout out someone in WWE who sent me a whole bunch of these. Whole bunch. Very cool. Before she cashed in her briefcase, they had to take some pictures in the back. If you look close, you see her makeup is a little smeared. But, yeah, you look closely. You can see, like, her makeup is a little smeared. Because this was before she cashed in later on in the night and Money in the Bank. So we'll be giving those away. So I want to thank somebody in WWE for sending those. That was very, very cool. Rockstar, DM me or email me, dontony@dontony.com. He's a member of the family. When you see that Deli Man logo, that motherfucker's been around for a while. So this one's on me, my friend. All right. You know, AEW sent me some stuff too. I have Ty Mello, former Ty Conti. I have Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Sting, CM Punk, Chris Jericho. I got a whole bunch of autograph photos. So we're going to start doing some giveaways out of the watch parties. Also, I know we focused on the watch parties the last couple of months, and I'm not going to lie. I did that because, you know, trying to grow the watch parties. And I'm going to reveal something here that I probably shouldn't. I don't care. I'm always straight out with everybody here. I have not gotten paid for a lot of these watch parties. Nothing. Zero. Because with these watch parties, you have to generate a certain number of people to come. And if it doesn't hit that number, they don't give you anything. I still do them because I love wrestling. I love hanging out with everyone. You know, last week, not being around, that was a legit technical issue. But, you know, I was doing a lot of the giveaways as a thank you to everybody who shows up. And look, I spin the wheel. I can't guarantee somebody's going to win or not. And sometimes somebody wins more than once. That's cool. But, you know, the fact is that for some reason, you know, it's just the watch parties aren't as big as what they should. Now, let's not, you know, make a mistake. Some people who do watch parties for other things, including AEW, they don't get anywhere close the numbers we get. So we do great numbers. But these watch parties are NFL, baseball, hockey, basketball, you know, big-time sports. And they want lots of people to show up. And when you don't get that many people to show up, they give you nothing. So, you know, so when I say that, you know, I've been putting a lot of the prizes in the watch parties because I wanted to reward people who were showing up and hanging out. But, you know, I want to do it for everybody. So we'll probably do a little ratings prediction contest tomorrow. We might even do one later this week. Maybe we'll do a Rampage one. We'll give away. I have an awesome fucking Sting photo that they sent me. I got this. I was like, whoa, this is pretty fucking cool. So I'm going to show you. The Jericho one is cool. It's all different phases of Jericho when he was in AEW. Not WWE stuff. It's him holding the title. It's him as the Painmaker. It's him as Jericho Appreciation Society. It's a montage. I was like, whoa, this is fucking cool. So, all right. Crazy Cruiserweight is in his house. He doesn't know. Thank you for the five spot, Cruiserweight. I don't know how anyone could be happy for Sean Spears and Cassie Lee having a kid. No child should have mediocre wrestlers as parents. Well, I'd rather have a spectacular parent who maybe was a mediocre wrestler, or maybe who, I know I'm kind of like poo-pooing on that. You know, not being the greatest wrestler, you know, you don't want, put it this way. Would you want a dad? You know, I'm not trying to pry in your personal life. Would you want a dad who is the greatest wrestler alive today and be the biggest asshole of a parent? I mean, would you want someone who, okay, your birthday's coming up. Hey, Crazy Cruiserweight, son, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, my God. I'd love to have the new wrestling game that's coming out. And, you know, maybe a nice jacket or something like that. Or, you know, nice pair of sneakers. All right, cool. And then your birthday comes up, and then he got you nothing because he went and bought a robe, bought a new pair of boots for the ring. I'd rather have awesome parents and them being subpar as far as entertainment actors, a shitty player in sports. You know, my parents are awesome, man. I have the privilege of them still being here. And it is going to tear me apart the day that they're not. But don't base Cassie and Sean Spears on their wrestling. You know, I would hope that they would be spectacular parents. I'm with you, though. I was never a fan of the Iconics. And he's the perfect. And you know what's funny? Every time they said he's the perfect 10, I always heard it as a question mark. If you remember, he's the perfect 10. It felt like a question mark. I can't criticize them. I can't. So just being honest, you'd rather me, you know, pick someone else who's a shitty person and a shitty wrestler. And then I'm with you, man. Then I'm with you. 100%. Hustle is a habit. Do I think Raw or SmackDown needs some kind of new GM authority figure? If so, who would I choose? And Michael Gonzalez, any predictions on the rest of the Major League Baseball season? I think it's going to be the Dodgers and the Mets. We're going to get 1988 all over again. Dodgers and the Mets. I think it's going to be the Dodgers and the Mets. The Yankees, you know, I'm rooting for them also because I'm a New Yorker, not first and foremost. But something about the Mets, they remind me of the Royals a few years back when they faced the Mets in the World Series. They just battle better at the plate. I think it's going to be the Mets and the Dodgers. All right, now, the non-baseball question. Do I think Raw or SmackDown? Yeah. Who should be GM? Man, I would seriously consider putting Sonya Deville back in that role. She could wrestle also on occasion if needed. The thing is, I don't know what Sonya Deville wants to do with her career. I don't know if she wants to wrestle full time. I know she wants to wrestle. But I don't know how much of a great time she was having being GM. I liked her in that role. I liked her. I liked Paige in that role, but Paige, it felt more like, all right, Paige can't wrestle right now. We'll put her as GM. Sonya Deville felt, you know, like good for that role. So I wouldn't mind Sonya Deville. The problem is, are you going to go the Hall of Fame route, choose someone from yesteryear that no longer wrestles? There's not that many people to choose from. The Mick Foley stuff was good. I enjoyed it. But there's not many people on the sidelines you could do that with. I don't mind Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce, I like the guy. So if they did Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville for another year, I'm fine with that. So I don't think the GM is absolutely necessary, but I do prefer to have a GM on each product, especially when it comes to the draft. You want to feel like people are competing next to each other. Some of the early years of the draft, they were so memorable because you had people on each side. You know, when you had Flair and you had Vince McMahon, and you had Stephanie, and you had the, when you have two GMs feuding, or even just having competition, you know, it's good. You know, it reminds me of the early days of TNA. You know, when, Bill Behrens. When Bill Behrens was allowing TNA wrestlers to wrestle for promotions, it was interesting because the one battle I always thought is, what happens if a wrestler is being pushed on TV as a champion or a heel, let's say, and you book that wrestler for your promotion, but you want that wrestler as a babyface? It happened more than you realize. And it kind of conflicted with what you saw on TV. Hey, this person's feuded with this person on TV. Now they're teaming up over here. What the fuck is going on? But, you know, TNA wanted the money more than anything else. It would be interesting if you don't have much of a roster split anymore and you see a SmackDown wrestler appear on Raw, and if the GM handles that wrestler a little bit different than they would be handled on SmackDown. It would be a fun little, you know, like, all right, you know, Adam Pearce wants to get back at Sonya Deville or vice versa. You know, she puts that person, you know, like, look, if I'm a SmackDown GM, if I'm Sonya Deville and somebody from Raw shows up, I put that motherfucker in a match against 10 people. Let that person get taken out in a wheelchair. And then Adam Pearce would be like, the fuck did you do to my wrestler? You know, I'd do shit like that. I like competition. And I think two GMs give that aura of more competition against the brands. All right. Would I sleep with Vince McMahon for $10 million? James Pasco asked that. I'm being totally honest with everyone out there. Oh, no. Not going to say what you think. Maybe some of you will admit this. Not going to lie. Back when I was in probably my 20s, hanging out with my friends at Juniper Park, nice summer day with a barbecue. Yeah, we would dare. You're like, would you do this? Would you do that? You know, would you have sex with that person for $100? Would you let him touch it? You know, would you lick that piece of shit off on the ground for $100? You know, people would say, you're like, would you do it for $1,000? And you'd be surprised some of the people's answers. Would I sleep with Vince McMahon for $10 million? Boy, $10 million is an awful lot of money. I can't see myself doing it. To live with that, knowing that I slept with him to get $10 million, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that. Would I let him touch it? Yeah. I'll just think about, like, something awful. I'll think about a tragedy. I'll think about the weather. I'll think about something else. You know, I'll just think about, you know, the other day I stepped on a slug with real, the worst feeling in the world. How many of you out there have ever stepped on a slug without shoes on? I was at my parents' house and my mom was in the pool and she's like, come in the pool for a little while. So me, I always walk around with slippers. This time I was too lazy and I walked around the poolside without slippers on, and next thing you know, poof, I'm like, what the? I thought I stepped on a little cherry tomato. I looked down and just I saw nothing but insect. I'm like, oh, this fucking sucks. So, I would think about something else. Nikita Lyons, I don't want to get sexual about Nikita Lyons. I don't want to go to the ringside news route with Anna Jay, that creep. But as I said on Saturday, I think it was, that, you know that you're a fan of someone where she does some moves in a ring that look like they hurt and you wouldn't mind taking it. You think I would mind her cannonballing me in the face? It would just hurt. It wouldn't be like, oh, I'll never wash this nose ever again. You know, I'm a fan of Nikita Lyons. Some people think she is a fake. I tell you, it's interesting. When she becomes a heel, she is going to piss the fuck off people online. Oh, my God, is she going to? You'd be surprised how many people online think everything about her is fake. everything, like her promos, the way she talks in this. And I'm like, she's playing a character on TV, even if it is totally fake. So what? But go on social media, go on Twitter especially, type in her name and write the word fake next to it. And that'll lead to, and you'll see what's floating around. I'm like, wow, there is a decent amount of hate. She was in a reality show, some ghetto housewives or something, I think. I don't think it was housewives, but she was on some reality show. And I saw the clip the other day, and some girl is like, yo, you threatened to punk me out, bitch me out, punch me out on public? Go ahead, honey. Go ahead, sister. And I'm like, anybody know this segment I'm talking about? She was in reality TV, and she was doing this shit she was done. She sounds like she's from the hood. Is it a black scent? I don't know if it is. You know what? I don't look at her and think she's trying to be black. I think she's trying to be street. That's a big difference. Because I've known people who talk like that. Every other word, the only difference between Nikita Lyons and them, other than not having beautiful bazoombas, is every other word out of their mouth is, you know what I'm saying. Yo, Anthony, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I can't deal with this person. You know what I'm saying? I knock him out. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's her trying to be black. I think it's her trying to be street tough. I mean, I could be wrong. All right, Oral Carter. Is it him, or does the FTW title treat it better than the TNT title? Even though AEW says it's not a sanctioned belt. Yeah, it does feel that way. Just like it feels like you look at FTR, and I brought it up. They have titles for every other company, and they don't have the AEW. Look at the AEW tag titles. Swerve and Keith Lee have them a month. What have they done with them? I mean, it's just, it feels like... Look, the AEW Heavyweight Championship, obviously, that's treated a lot differently. But outside of that, man, you know, it's, yeah, the FTW title sometimes feels more important than the TNT Championship. I totally feel what you're talking about, so. Boy. Mr. Cruiserweight with a two-spot. What flavor does Thea Hale taste like? I have no idea. Look, she's of age. She's of age. So, you know, it's like we're not saying anything criminal here. It's just, put it this way. Steve Carrier, that ringside news guy, few of you asked earlier, why did I bring that up? Anna J.A.S. posted a picture of herself posing in front of a mirror. She posted on Twitter. So Steve Carrier responds back and says, room number, please. Now, obviously, I think you know what proceeded to that. You know, that's just a creep. That's not something like you joke about, especially if she's involved with, you know, someone else. You just, you know, if you're friends, that's different. You're better off with an emoji with the big red hearts, like, you know, you're in love. But to just turn around and go that route, she wrote yuck. Bravo to her. She wrote yuck. I think in some cases, if you want a chance to possibly, you know, mingle with someone, I, you know, probably not being explicit is probably the way to go. So, all right, Kevin Milwaukee, what are the odds that later in the year, DT, that I'll be interviewing Cross when he's carrying championship gold at the time? Well, the thing is this. As I said before, I have heard nothing from my former co-host if he wanted to do it. I know somebody asked him the other day about it. I have no idea what his answer was. I don't know if that's going to happen. I will tell you this, that I still want to interview him regardless. It's just, especially right now with everything going on, right now is not the perfect time. But hey, if he were to become champion, and then I pulled my card like, hey, buddy, bro, could you come on for an hour? An hour. Could you come on for a few minutes? It would have to be cleared from WWE. It would have to be cleared. I mean, look, do I think it would be cleared? I'm sure it would be. And I wouldn't say anything that would be controversial. But, you know, look, let's see what happens. I would have loved to have interviewed him a couple of months ago. It's weird how things sometimes are blessing in disguise. In a way, I'm glad we didn't because of what's happening now. You know, understand something. I know some of you wanted that interview in June, but looking back on it, I am very happy it did not happen because Vince was still there. He still was gone. That conversation would be totally, totally different than what it would be now. So sometimes things work out for the right reason. So the only thing is, though, let's be honest. I don't know if Karrion Kross is going to be heavyweight champion at the very moment or for the immediate future. There are some other storylines that need to happen. Look, I bring up Finn Balor. Many, many years ago, I remember having a debate with my former co-host about Finn Balor. And I said, look, we're getting into Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. There's no need to rush Finn Balor. Get through WrestleMania, then you push the guy. And that's exactly what happened. And everybody at that time said that I was right with that. Karrion Kross, if you're going to put gold on him, there's no need to rush it. The guy is not even in the prime of his life yet. He's that young, and he's just starting. He's just starting. You know, he got graduated to the main roster and was nothing of what he was in NXT. So this is all starting over again. Get to a WrestleMania, then you could put the focus on Kross. And you want to know something? Deep down inside, I think Kross would agree with that 100%. You know, especially with Triple H at the helm. Just Sports. What's up? Can the Iconics AOP be brought back to increase competition in the women's tag team division and the male tag team division? Because there's hardly any proper teams left on the roster. Well, the Iconics cannot. Cassie Lee is pregnant. And Billie McKay, she is doing Hollywood. So the Iconics are pretty much done right now, for real. So that would not happen. AOP, let me tell you something. I think AOP is a team you may actually see in WWE very, very soon. No one is talking about AOP. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there was a lot of controversy. It was a disaster. I think there's no other way to put it. It was a disaster. AOP was supposed to run a show overseas not too long ago. And I think they were supposed to have the Lena Fanini, the former Nia Jax, Lana was supposed to be on, and a few others. And there was some controversy where someone was being advertised. I think it was Nia. And, you know, she was already off the card. Then, you know, I think there was a postponement, then a delay. And they were starting this promotion. And I remember when people were asking me about it, and I remember I said, you know, let's see what happens. Let them get their first show done. Anybody out there could plan a first show. It's when you do the second, the third, the fourth is where you start paying attention to it. And the show never happened. And it was an absolute disaster. I think AOP's aspirations of being a wrestling promotion, I don't know if that's going to be, you know, anything that's going to solidify in the immediate future. Even if they do a rinky-dink event once in a while here and there, I don't see it. I would not be surprised if AOP come back to WWE. And you know what? I think they would do very... I'd rather see AOP than the Viking Raiders, to be honest with you. In fact, I think AOP versus the Viking Raiders might be pretty damn good. So AOP is definitely a team I wouldn't mind seeing back. You know, everybody's focusing on former NXT people and anything else. I think AOP could very well be back. So, all right. Indingo, Do I think the match at All Out for the AEW tag belts should have been FTR versus the Young Bucks? No disrespect to Swerve versus Keith Lee. If you're talking about the previous pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, absolutely. Absolutely. FTR should have won the AEW tag titles. I have nothing against New Japan, IWGP. I have none against AAA. I have none against Ring of Honor. I just keep it real about Ring of Honor. You know, it was funny. I made a comment today on social media. Samoa Joe, over the last 12 weeks, how many times has he wrestled on AEW television? Zero. And the funny thing is the best response I got from AEW whack jobs is, oh, he's doing an outside project. And I was like, yeah, I saw what Tony Schiavone said 2 months ago also. Like, the motherfucker has not been on AEW television 12 weeks. You know, that's just ridiculous. And, you know, people always making excuses for it. FTR, when you got three sets of tag belts and you want to build that momentum that they are the tag team of the year, the greatest tag team in wrestling today, and meanwhile, the company that signed them, you can't win that title, that's ridiculous. FTR should have won the AEW tag titles off of the Young Bucks. I don't give a shit if Tony Khan was sending a statement to WWE like, look, we treated Swerve and Keith Lee the way you should have. Yeah, that's nice and everything, but what the fuck have you done since they won those belts? They've done shit with those belts. Even if FTR wouldn't have defended it the last 30 days also, FTR would have walked around with four sets of titles. And just that perception of having eight belts between the two would be enough for people to say they're the greatest tag team today. So, yeah, they should have beaten the Young Bucks for those belts. No excuse. None whatsoever. Ah, Josh, with all due respect, man, you just said that FTR is killing it on TV. They haven't wrestled. How many matches have they had on TV in the last 6 weeks? Yeah, they had a match with the Briscoes, and it was great. They're not killing it on TV. AEW is not really doing much with FTR. You know, the fact that they're not the AEW tag champs, that in itself should say something. You know, when they're on, yeah, when they're on, they're great. The problem is, you know, that's why I always put the Usos above them. The Usos are on every single week and people are not sick of them. And they somehow seem to still put out quality content. Where I don't ever see people on like, oh, same old shit, same old. They were saying that when New Day and Usos kept going at it. But, you know, you're going to be the top. You have to deliver. You know, maybe not every single week, you have to deliver on a pretty consistent basis. And it's Tony Khan and AEW that is fucking up FTR. None of this is FTR's fault. Zero. Tony Khan did complain. Well, he didn't complain about WWE having 7 hours of TV, but we had some fun with that on Wednesday. He used WWE's 7 hours of TV to explain why AEW doesn't put people on TV very consistently because they only have 3 hours of TV. The difference is WWE uses about 25 people on a show. AEW puts 55 people on the show. Tony Khan just, you know, it's like, you know, I used a room of toys as an example. You know, if you're locked in a room for a day, you're grounded. Every single one of you out there, you're grounded and your door is locked. And you only have 1, 2, 5, 10 games around your house, around your room. You know, you probably play with every single one during those 24 hours. If you have 65 games in your house, in your room, you might touch one for 5 seconds, throw it aside, touch another one for 5 seconds, throw it aside. You may get one that you spend a hell of a lot of time for, and then you realize there's 40 games that you didn't touch. So Tony Khan just has way too many people on television. But some people like that. And, you know, if that is a good formula and they feel that that's what leads to success, keep doing it. You know, I don't work for them. So no matter what we say, they're the ones to make the decisions. And if they feel that's a winning, you know, formula, then if you don't like it, you don't tune in. If you like it, enjoy it. That's why, like I say, when people criticize Bruce Pritchard, I mean, I'm not the biggest Bruce Pritchard fan out there, but Bruce Pritchard does have people in wrestling that like what he does. There are people in wrestling who have always appreciated Vince Russo. You know, just because we feel a certain way about someone doesn't make it fact and law. It's just in this day and age, everybody likes to, you know, flow with the in crowd. And if the in crowd is to praise this or bash this, everybody will do it. That's why when I said last week, look, everyone, I don't like Kevin Dunn. Comes off as a dick. I mean, but there's not many people that could do the job that Kevin Dunn does. A lot of people still don't even know what Kevin Dunn does. They just think, oh, he's an asshole. He should be out. But the point is, people online are angrier at Kevin Dunn than the wrestlers themselves. And that's where you realize there's a problem. So, all right. How long we got? Oh, we're only an hour. All right, so let's go like another half. Keep moving. Keep moving right along. Great questions tonight. What do I think about the conspiracy Vince McMahon sent Vince Russo to WCW Kill It? Not true. Not true. I will say this. I was doing my wrestling hotline at the time, and a lot of people thought that. We joked about it as well. When I was doing the Black Hearts hotline, we were joking like, yo, man, Vince McMahon told Vince Russo, look, go there and fuck it up. Fuck it up. You know, because, no. Vince Russo, I've always been a supporter of his. I will never waver unless he does something personally awful. Vince Russo tried his hardest. Vince Russo thought what he did was the right way to go. He definitely came up with some very stupid stuff. There is no question. But overall, Vince Russo had a lot of pride in what he did. And there was no way that Vince Russo was going to go to WCW, no matter how much they were going to pay him, so he could fuck that company up. If he would have brought WCW to even bigger heights, that would have increased Vince Russo's value. If he went there to fuck up WCW and succeeded, then Vince Russo, for the rest of his career, no other company would want to pick him up. Either one, because they thought that he was horrible, look what he did to WCW, or we can't trust him, look what he did to WCW. So, no, it's not true at all. It's not true at all. It was fun at the time, because it sure felt different, but no. No. All right, Benjamin. What do I think of Michael Cole saying that the David Dunn guy is a terrible photographer after the Maximum Male Model segment on SmackDown? It was just storyline. They were just having a little bit of fun. LA Knight, you know, getting a little bit of criticism, complaining about the fun. That's what prima donnas do. You know, if you look at prima donnas when they're doing photo shoots or they run down the runway, if you ever see behind the scenes footage, it's not even a skit for TV. It's not like that they're acting all nice and then they see that there's a red light on and they're like, oh, let me act like a conceited bitch. You know, that's that world where everything has got to be a certain way. So, no, it's just a good segment. Michael Cole just having fun with it. No issues whatsoever. Heart, and I don't know what that all is, but broken heart. Who do I want to see inducted next year? And E-Dub is asking, have I seen the Lex Luger A&E bio so far? I watched some of it. You know, I still have the police report when Miss Elizabeth passed. I still have the 911 calls in its entirety. And at that time, Lex Luger was one of the most hated people in wrestling. I know this is something a lot of people don't like to say, but facts are facts. He didn't force Miss Elizabeth to do anything. She enjoyed, you know, the recreational, you know, drugs, and she unfortunately OD'd from it. It's a tragedy. It's terrible. And when Lex Luger started getting the medical conditions and pretty much made him a shell of what he used to be, you know, anybody out there, I think, would have, at this point, would have probably considered, you know, not being able to handle it. That's probably the best way I could put it. I mean, I'm sure at this point right now, Lex Luger, looking back at his life, it's like looking at a movie. I have nothing but respect for Lex Luger now, because not he could have, for the last, you know, 15 years, whatever it is, he could have spent that time in a bubble, you know, going to wrestling stuff, but being in a bubble, not talking much about it, not mingling, and just live out the rest of his life that way. He went on a mission and talked and talked and talked and talked and tried to help others. And you think of Lex Luger from the 80s and even the 90s, even when he was the total package and, you know, not necessarily the WWF Lex Luger, but when he, you know, with the 1% body fat and all that in his final days in WCW, he was one of the most hated people, period. And he definitely deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I think that would put everything that has happened to him full circle. The Miss Elizabeth stuff is a very, very sensitive topic that people want to avoid. I'm sure would love to avoid it as much as they can with a speech at the Hall of Fame, but Lex Luger will go in. If it doesn't happen next year, it's going to happen within the next 2 to 3 years. Lex Luger will go in the Hall of Fame. If I was WWE, I would put him in next year. Seriously. I have not seen all of the A&E yet, but I've watched some of it. And, you know, the one thing about these A&E biographies, you know, most, when you live through this and you cover it all these years, there's not much that has not already been told. And sometimes things are tweaked a little bit and things are omitted to make it feel a little bit different. The WCW versus WWE A&E, the wars, you know, they omitted a couple of things in the middle and it felt like they were telling a different story. But in the end, they really were just telling the same shit again, just getting new, fresh interviews and everything like that. So, but the Lex Luger one got a pretty good rating. Wasn't it like the second best rating of all the shows? I'm shocked the Kurt Angle rating did as low as it did. I'm shocked. Everybody expected the Kurt Angle one to be the biggest rating of them all. I think it was the worst or almost the worst. Z Paul, did I go to MSG Desert Storm match in 91? Why was the red and blue ropes upside down? Well, I did not go to that. You know, at the time of war, at the time of, you know, USA and Sergeant Slaughter, you know, just going against America. I mean, it was just to try to, you know, like things were upside down. Like everything in the world was upside down. That was the perception I got from it. But I never went at the time. 91, understand in 91, you know, I'm still going out with friends, you know, partying, you know, going to clubs, you know, driving around the neighborhoods. We didn't have the internet yet. I think the first time I used the internet in any capacity was 1992 or 1993. A girl that I had been dating had the chat room. And we went in the chat room and were chatting with people across the world. And it was funny because it was just text chat. But that was the early stages of the internet. But 91, I didn't go to many wrestling shows. You know, I would say from 88 to 93, maybe 92, because I did go to a couple of shows in 93. We were in the Skybox. I remember seeing Yoko and a few others. But that five-year period, I still watched wrestling, but I didn't go to shows like I had at that time. So Cruiserweight, I said earlier, I predict the Dodgers and the Mets will be in a World Series. All right. So let's keep the questions going and we'll wrap it up soon. Tomorrow we have Raw. AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, first time ever. That's going to be a fun match. I want to see how the IWC reacts if we get interference, bullshit finish, because Miz gets involved, Ciampa gets involved. Will we see Logan Paul? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, we have Clash at the Castle coming up. So they do have to start building some additional matches for Clash at the Castle. So tomorrow we should get some additional matches announced. So, oh, no. Dirt, stupid me, Liddell. Thank you, Liddell. The fuck was I thinking? The Mets and the Dodgers, when I said that there was going to repeat of 88, I meant the team going into the World Series. That's what I meant. They're both in the NL. You're right. I had 88 on the brain, the Mets and the Dodgers, to compete who is going to go into the World Series. That's what I meant. I think it's going to be Yankees and the Dodgers, or the Yankees and the Mets. So, yes, props. And, you know, my apologies. You know, listen, I have every game from 88 when they faced each other. I have the newspapers from that time. David Cohn opening his fucking mouth, pissing off the Dodgers. You know, I'm revealing things that probably a lot of you have never even heard of. But believe me, 88, I was so angry at the outcome, because what a lot of people don't know, I don't remember the exact record, but in 1988, I think the Mets were like, what, 11-1 versus the Dodgers during the year. And then, you know, the Dodgers ended up beating them in the playoffs. And I tell you, it was rough, man. But I watched one of those games not too long ago. You know, and Vin Scully just recently passed. I have always said this. Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola, one of my all-time favorite commentators. I have so many NBC games of the week. I have a folder that I'm looking at right now. NBC games of the week. I collected them. I traded with people back in the day, all because I wanted to hear more games commentated by Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola. You know, and then sometimes because there's a rain delay, they would simulcast a different game and you would get like different commentators. So, but I think it's going to be the Yankees and the Dodgers, or the Mets and the Yankees in the World Series. But props. Thank you for fixing that for me. If we would have went off the air with me not clarifying that more, I would have gotten my ass handed to me. It would be cool to see the Mets and the Dodgers in the World Series, but that ain't happening. So. You know, I wish the Mets would have won in 15 also, but the Royals, man, we were so frustrated with the Royals. You know what it felt like? If you ever played a baseball video game, and you could put the settings on difficulty, and every time, like, you could throw the greatest pitcher out there, and every time you try to strike someone out, they would foul it off or get a hit because you had the setting on difficulty, and that's how it felt with the Royals. I mean, you couldn't strike those motherfuckers out. And, man, I mean, the Royals earned that shit. They earned that shit that year. All right. I'm still happy that the Cubs won. Who was the guy, you know, down the third base line? Who was that guy that, you know, when Moises Alou went to catch the ball? What the hell's his name? Someone in the chat room will bring him up now. I have that DVD that they did about that guy. And I said something from hell. Steve Bartman. I always wanted to meet that guy. I felt so bad for him. As much as I felt bad for Bill Buckner, I felt bad for Steve Bartman as well. I mean, that guy must have been so ecstatic when they won the World Series. The funny thing is, I still don't know if the Cubs would have won the World Series even if Steve Bartman didn't try to catch that ball. You know, there was no guarantee. Just like Bill Buckner, the ball went between his legs, but they still had a Game 7. You know, I mean, look at how much futility before the ball went through his legs. You know, Bill Buckner you know, I remember I have a preseason game, and Bill Buckner came up at bat, and they faced the Mets. This was spring training 87, and Bill Buckner got a standing ovation, for what happened. I felt bad for the guy because he got pretty much banned from Boston, and that guy I always thought was going to be in the Hall of Fame. I honestly thought Bill Buckner, I have games of his when he was on the Cubs in the 70s, on the Dodgers. Bill Buckner was an awesome freaking player. Really, really felt bad. I mean, look, I'm a Mets fan, so I didn't feel that bad. But I felt bad how he was treated afterwards. Thank God we didn't have social media in 86. Thank God we didn't have social media. Could you imagine? Or even with Steve Bartman. I mean, yeah, we kind of had, it was on the verge of going full-blown internet, but can you imagine? You know, I mean, this was still in the early stages. You imagine if we had, like, Twitter? Man. All right. Danny is asking, have I ever worked in a pro wrestling business? people are like, oh, no. I'll just say briefly. I started a wrestling hotline in 97 when XPW was coming to the Northeast in 2002. They wanted me to push it through my hotline. They had me do the bus trips. And I had so many people go that, you know, it just caught on. And then Frank Goodman, the Mass Maniac, saw how much attention I was getting to the XPW shows. You ever look at the XPW shows in Philly back in 02? Half of the people in attendance were my bus trips. I sold out 3-4 buses at a time. Each one had 60 people in it. So after that, I started doing some work with USA Pro Wrestling. And I always, since I had a hotline, I always gave my creative ideas. And a lot of people loved my creative ideas, and I always wanted to work behind the scenes. So I started giving some ideas here and there. And then I started getting a lot of hate online. And I started getting hate. This is now like around 05, 06. And it was Low Life Louis Ramos who said, why don't you be a manager? Why don't you manage? You know, people hate you. You know, let them, you know. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I indie managed for a little while. And, you know, I didn't do a very good job, but it got a lot of attention online. And then another promotion, VPW, approached me to see if I wanted to be a manager for them, and they offered me to do the wrestling school. So I did the wrestling school for about 8 months. And then Fat Frank, who had Jersey All Pro Wrestling, he had a minor league promotion, I think called JCW or something, where they did it at like show buildings that only sat like 100 people. So I did managing there as well. And, you know, I did a little bit, you know, for 5, 6, 7 years. And I stopped doing it because the injuries from my car accident in 96 were too much, and I was in too much pain, and I had a couple of concussions from it. And then when I had my spinal stimulator put in me, that was it. It was either I have to treat my pain outside of taking painkillers or keep doing what I'm doing. And when I got the spinal stimulator put in, I couldn't take a chance of, you know, taking a back bump and, you know, fucking up the leads in my spine and the battery pack and shit like that. Shit, look, here's my remote control. I had it on before. If I put it on, see, this is for my spinal stimulator. If you look, you see where it says calf? I don't know if you could see that. It's calf, not like, communication failed. Oh, that's why. Because it's trying to communicate with my battery. See, stimulation on. So when I have pain, see if I have pain in my calf? It says calf. If I go and change the program, I don't know if you can see that. It says calf, ankle, leg. I hit a button and I get electrical impulses in my spine. So, but now, you know, I'm also about 60 pounds lighter, so I feel a lot better. So people have offered me to manage again, and I would do it in a second. As long as it's pretty local, I would do it in a second. You know, somebody was trying to get me a little something in Florida, I would do it. But unfortunately, a lot of places over the last year that, you know, said, hey, once we get through COVID, would you want to manage a little bit? I said, yeah, and I haven't heard back. So Michael Gonzalez's favorite Derek Jeter moment, honestly, two. His last game, because you couldn't have even written that in a book. You couldn't even add a movie. People would have said, oh, what an awful finish. Because it was just unexpected. And also when they played the A's in the playoffs, I think it was Jeremy Giambi? I don't remember which Giambi it was, tried to score at home plate and he flipped the ball. I mean, that's sick. That is crazy shit. I mean, how he did that, it's amazing. And Jorge Posada, the way he tagged him, that was crazy. Those two moments, I mean, there's a lot of others. 3,000, you know. I hear Michael Kay's voice in my head right now. So, see, we could talk baseball if we need to. You know, Charlie says they stopped Dark Side of the Ring. Good, good. And honestly, it didn't do anything. It wasn't a good thing. I mean, I know some people got paydays doing interviews and stuff like that. And some of the episodes were not bad. But overall, the concept is horrible. You know, it's just like, let's just bury people. Let's just sensationalize shit. Let's also spin it a certain way where it's even worse. And then you realize how they were cherry picking stuff. And then it felt, you know, very one-sided. I never liked it. I never liked it. I remember one day binge watching a whole bunch of episodes in one day. And it was like, okay, it's not that bad, but it just, I could only imagine the discussions before they did this. You know, maybe the intentions originally were much better and more positive. The Bright Side of the Ring, it wouldn't have drawn shit. I was one of them that said, if you could have Dark Side of the Ring, have the Bright Side of the Ring. But, you know, it's just like social media, you know, controversy, hate, criticism, bash Vince, bash this, rip that. You know, that is more popular than praise, 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 praise. But maybe originally their concept was going to be more positive, but it turned into a train wreck. I'm glad it's gone. Run DMG, Jim Ross and Jim Cornette being in it, that's why I believe originally the intentions were much better. I personally think the original concept was a lot different and maybe more positive. I think once you go into the mud, once you really get deep and you see the attention you get from it, and you see that titillation, you know, that's habit forming. And I think it morphed into something. They were just looking for the most awful, juiciest, how do we spin this? And I don't think that Jim Cornette and Jim Ross signed up for that. You know, they could do whatever they want, but I think it morphed into something that it wasn't supposed to. And good, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad it's gone. Devin, we actually talked about Bobby Roode yesterday, I believe, right before it went off the air. I don't see Bobby Roode having much of a WWE career remaining unless he becomes a trainer. I'm a big fan of Bobby Roode. I enjoy Robert Roode. I enjoy all his work. I remember going to NYWC. He was in wrestling maybe a year or two. I went to NYWC. It's got to be over 15 years ago. And Bobby Roode was on the card. And I remember meeting him at the door, and he was a very, very cool guy. I like his work. I just can't see, other than helping the stars of tomorrow, helping elevate the stars that are being pushed right now, I don't see him in that mix. Maybe you bring him back to NXT and he could feud with some of the younger guys, but I think at this point in WWE, whether it's the main product or NXT, I think Robert Roode is more enhancement. And that's sad to say because you know he's much more than that. I don't see Robert Roode having much of a WWE career remaining. I'd be very surprised if it was otherwise. I'm just being honest. I'm a fan, but never thought James Storm teaming with him in WWE would have amounted to much. I don't think it would have amounted to much. I don't know why. I just, you know, some teams, you just picture them in another organization and it just doesn't feel like it would ever click. It just, it's the way it felt to me. All right. Yeah, a lot of respect for Robert Roode in the chat right now. Deserving. Guy's great. Physically, he's spectacular. I just don't know. I think NXT would be his best shot, you know, and still, even if you brought him back there, you know, what's he really going to do? So, I have not looked into anything last week with Jeff Hardy. I will make it my business to follow up on a few things. You know, right now the court process is going through. I will tell you this about the rental. I actually contacted someone to try to get some direction as to how to pursue this. And, you know, what I was told, they don't know who rented the car, but what I was told is that what's going on legally, because you may remember this, this is something that I said that no one else reported, and, you know, no one still has yet to report this. Jeff Hardy, in the end, is going to have a bigger problem with North Carolina than he is with Florida. That is something you're not reading anywhere. Jeff Hardy will have a bigger problem with North Carolina authorities than Florida. And the person had said to me that, you know, you could request the information, you could put this, you could put that, but I was told be very, very careful how you present this, because that aspect of the case can be used against him. And still, I know a lot of people out there who absolutely refuse to try to find that out. And the reason is because we may not like the answer as far as who rented the car. So look, I'm not going to lie to you. I think back to the Perry Saturn stuff. I learned an awful lesson that time with Perry Saturn. Well, if any of you out there that don't know this story, you probably could still find it somewhere. Type in Google. Type in Perry Saturn, no sold bullets. I reported a story back when Perry Saturn first got shot, and he got covered everywhere. And then he disappeared. And then what happened was there was a lot of fear that Perry Saturn had died. And because I used to work in skip tracing in my personal life, and I've worked with investigators, the Masked Maniac said to me, he says, why don't you find Perry Saturn? I said, all right, give it a shot. And I found him. Problem is, in the process of that, I learned about his divorce. I learned about his alleged abuse. I've learned about a lot of issues with Perry Saturn that were very, very, very dark. I still have the court papers. I still have divorce papers. And then it culminated with me getting a phone call from his ex-wife's lawyer. Where is he? We have subpoenas. He owes this. He owes that. He could go this. That's why I don't think he showed up at John Cronus's funeral. It got so deep and dark that the good news was he was alive. The bad news was everything I uncovered, and on top of it, I don't know if he was ever shot. Because remember the story. He stopped a rape in Atlanta. You know, people that don't know the story, Perry Saturn, many, many years ago, the story was that a girl was being raped in a car by two guys. Perry Saturn went into the car, pulled the guys off, got into a fight with one of the guys, and the other guy ran, and before Perry Saturn could do anything, he got shot in the neck a couple of times. Now, you would think anywhere that would be a news story. So when I found out about it, and the Masked Maniac found out about it, I wrote my article, Perry Saturn, No Sold Bullets. And we told the whole story. It got covered everywhere. Believe me, guys, gals, I'm not bullshitting. If I kept doing what I was doing, I would have the blue check mark before everyone else. Problem is, you know, I don't want to do that shit anymore, so I bypass it. But when I started looking into Perry Saturn and found out everything I found out, and then found out that maybe he didn't get shot, then you go back to the hospitals the day that this happened, the week that it happened, and they have no record of him. I'm not going to say his real name here, but so it uncovered a lot of stuff. The good news was that Perry Saturn was alive. The bad news is I came off like an asshole. I had so much hate from people out there. They're like, man, just leave the guy alone. What are you fucking bringing? Because I was telling, as I was uncovering this, I was telling everybody on my hotline. I was telling everyone this. And then he did that shoot interview with You Shoot. And somebody asked him, you know, what do you have to say about so-and-so saying that you know, you didn't get shot? And it was just a real fucked up situation. I felt bad. I felt awful. Like, I was getting information. And I was getting real information. And people didn't want that. And ever since then, I said, I ain't doing that shit no more. When Kamala had the problem with Dawn Marie, and I got involved with that, and Kamala was lying, and Dawn Marie was being honest about the checks, I still, only because I still have my old emails, I still have all the emails with from Dawn Marie. She sent me all this proof of what happened. And I was like, look, I feel bad that Kamala is in this health situation that he is, and he had the amputation. But because I brought out the truth, and because of Kamala's situation, everybody hated it. And I was like, man, I ain't doing that shit no more. I ain't doing that shit no more. Dawn Marie's a nurse now? That's pretty cool. I would not be surprised. I know Wrestler's Rescue was very controversial at the time. I can tell you honestly, she really tried to help. She really did. I can't say anything negative about Dawn Marie. I saw, you know, I had fights with other podcasters at the time. I'm like, man, I saw the papers. I saw the checks. I saw this. Did you see it? No, you didn't. You know, I think people were just mad at me because I did see this stuff and because I was involved. And after that, I was like, nah, you know, my investigative shit is over. I'm sure if I really pushed and took the risk, I could find out the Jeff Hardy stuff in a second. But what is that going to accomplish? You know, something tells me I'm going to get more hate than anything else. We just want Jeff to get better. We want him to overcome this. I don't know at this stage of the game if he ever will, but we hope that he does. And if he's in a better place right now, you know, maybe that's not a good idea to throw that shit out there. You know, somebody went to bat for him, rented the car for him. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. See, like I said, I don't do things just for hits and views and likes and attention. You know, sometimes you do have to take a step back and say, you know what, it's not worth it. You know, do I want the attention but get a lot of criticism with it? Or would I rather just be a little less involved and, you know, not, I don't want people looking at me like, wow, that's the dick that uncovered that. Oh, that's the asshole there. I don't need that. All right. Let's start bringing this home, everybody. It's getting late very quickly. So last chance for questions. So just write the word question before your question. And if you super chat, obviously you get a little VIP priority. We're already at 94 minutes, Danny. It's almost time. It should have been time already, but we could go an extra 5 or 6 minutes. I don't mind. I have to prepare for work tomorrow. I have to get my thumbnail for tomorrow. I think I'm just going to go the quick way out. Just put when I do my thumbnails sometimes for Raw, and I just put like 5 of people's heads on there, I'll probably just take 5 people and just put them on there and call it a day. So the show does go fast. Cerebral is asking, what would be a good name for a promotion if I could choose one? Well, I'll say this. I don't know of any names offhand right now, but having W at the end of your letters is always a good thing. Sure, we've had some other places, TNA and others, and TNA actually, but I always, you know, when people used to ask me, because my friend Jimmy Hustler, that died, it's got to be about 15 years ago already, you know, he had ABC Pro Wrestling. And I remember he had asked me, he says, what do you think of the name? I said, it's not that bad. I said, whatever the letters are, you got to picture it as a chant. How does it sound as a chant? So ABC, ABC. It's not that bad. But whatever you call your promotion, the letters have to flow. And I always love the W at the end because of the ECW chants. I remember ECW. I remember when they bled over to WCW events, WWE events. You know, just the chant. See, AEW is a pretty good chant also. You know, sure, it's two of the three letters, but you know, I always liked the W at the end. You know, I hated the promotions that use four letters or use like multiple words. Like you want your fans to chant. And when your fans chant your own letters, there's nothing better in the world. Believe me, when I took a shot with a chair and I was handcuffed to a guardrail, Kevin Matthews, who you've seen recently on TV, handcuffed me to a guardrail and gave me a chair shot, and I started bleeding. And I started getting the shit knocked out of me. And you have 350 fans going, VPW, VPW. You know, I don't care how bad you are on the card or how good you are on the card, that's an awesome feeling. And that, to me, whenever anybody starts a promotion, you should always think of the letters, and is it a group of letters that the fans could chant, and how does it sound? E-dubs, what was the best year for TNA when Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle were going at it? What was that, 06? What year was Joe and Kurt Angle going at it? 06 sounds awfully early, but it could be 06. That year was incredible. That year, it just, you know, there was just spectacular. Unfortunately for Samoa Joe afterwards, you know, they put the tribal cock on his face. Then he's in, what, the main event Mafia. You know, it just, I don't know, it just didn't feel the same for Joe. 06, 07, yeah. To me, that's probably my favorite time for TNA. Don't get me wrong, I liked 02. I liked, you know, when they were pushing AJ Styles, even when Raven was getting a little bit of a push. But I think 06, 07 is probably my favorite time for TNA. Will Liv lose at Clash? Rob S. is asking. I don't know if they're going to turn it into a three-way. As of right now, I say no. I think Liv Morgan will keep that title. Because even if Triple H feels a little bit differently about Liv, it's a very, very inspirational story. It is something that, like I said last week, when everybody was focusing on her getting booed the week before this past one, I'm like, nah, don't take 1 week. That was more creative's fault for having her tap out, you know, at the same time that Ronda was being pinned. That was not very smart. I think if you're going to legitimize Liv's reign and not just be, you know, over so early and not feel that she's, you know, her road to this point has been a really, really hard fought one. I think she needs one more decisive win. You could have Charlotte show up right after and beat the fuck out of Liv. If Ronda's not involved in the match, she could show up right after. You could do something right after to get the focus off the fact that Liv retained again, but I think Liv needs one more win. I think Liv needs one more win. Yeah, thank you, Rob. You know, I just, like I said, you know, I see the cute tweets, you know, especially when SmackDown is on or Raw is on, but the cute tweets where everybody's got to throw their one-liner, and when Liv got booed, you know, instead of you know, maybe because they didn't want to criticize Triple H, but instead of just saying, look, you know, that was, you know, a creative decision to have her tap. You don't have a babyface tap in that situation the way it is. It just looks stupid or whatever. No, they just wanted to, you know, jump on the fact that the fans booed. Oh, they turned on Liv. They don't like Liv. Come on. You know, I could see if these are just young, naive wrestling fans thinking that. When you got legit established people playing into that shit, I'm like, man, you know, go jerk off in the corner. You don't need to use the fans for a hand job. You know, it's like, you know, Liv is not heel. You know that this inspirational story is not going to get turned. Ronda Rousey is a fan favorite. Ronda Rousey is very well liked. Vince McMahon kept Ronda Rousey a babyface because he felt that she was better as a babyface for the fans. The fans are still cheering for Ronda Rousey. So, you know, that's not going to change. But to turn around and turn on Liv, that's why I was happy. Even Rhea Ripley and others took, you know, defense to Liv. They took Liv's side. And you think of Rhea Ripley's character and everything, they didn't need to do that. But people in the business immediately stepped up to defend Liv on that. And to me, that is cool. That is a lot of respect. That's why I can't put any creed in a lot of these people. Yet people still allow them. Why would Jeff Hardy have more issues with North Carolina than Florida? Because Jeff, that's a great question. Jeff Hardy was given a lot of leniency in North Carolina for some of his past issues. And the thing is that when Jeff Hardy escaped jail time and a few others for some previous issues, you know, there was some specific guidelines that Jeff Hardy was told to follow. And one of the things is that if he has a vehicle, you got to have a breathalyzer in it with an ignition cutoff, that if you are having a drink, you cannot get behind that wheel, that car cannot start. And he took the sneaky way out. Listen, I'm a huge Jeff Hardy fan. I want to see get better, but let's be honest. That motherfucker found the loophole. Okay, the car's not under my name. So that's why I'm driving a car that doesn't have the device in it. He was not supposed to get in that car in the first place, but he did. So now he has to answer to North Carolina, who gave him leniency before. He's got splaining to do. And when North Carolina sees that not only did he not adhere to what he was told to do, but actually took some shortcuts around it, I think they're going to lay the boom on him a little bit. I think maybe a little more than people expect. Jeff Hardy, you know, yeah, North Carolina is a little rough, but they've showed that they are lenient as well. So am I saying he's going to go to jail for a couple of years? No, I'm not saying that. But, you know, North Carolina is going to, you know, they're pissed. They're pissed. And like I said, you could read, look, I don't have any issues with PW Insider anymore, but they're not breaking news on this. They're just reading. They're going on a website every day in the court, and they're looking to see if there's any updates. And then they read it, they tell everybody, and then you got people saying, oh, they broke the story. No, that's not the case at all. They're just reading off a website. I'm telling you, he's going to end up having a much bigger problem in North Carolina than he would in Florida. He will have some, you know, repercussions because of Florida, because it happened in Florida. But North Carolina is going to go hard on Jeff Hardy a little bit, so. All right. I think we're going to jet out of here. I think it's time to go. So right now it is 9:48. Okay, that's not too bad. So I'm going to jet out of here. I still got to type up a synopsis. I got to go back, skim through the show, listen to all your questions, and put up a little list. So my work is not done. I'll answer one more for Gruss. Will Matt and Jeff get in the WWE Hall of Fame later in life? Yeah. Yeah. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. It's going to be interesting how the Hall of Fame is treated now with Vince on the sidelines. You know, make no mistake about it. Vince McMahon still has input. He owns 28 plus million shares in stock. He's still is a majority owner. He doesn't sit like a goof, like some people want you to think. The man still financially owns a big part of WWE. He has say. When you own the majority of something, you have say. It's common sense. Don't listen to these people online. He may not physically be there, but he still has input. If you owned that kind of shares in a company, if you were the majority owner, if you had that much, and unfortunately, you know, you were in the situation Vince was, you don't just sit there and take it and, you know, oh, you don't like it, sell your stock. So understand that aspect. People are not going to say that because either they're just too ignorant not to understand that, or they just don't want to accept that because they don't like Vince. But he's going to have some input, but it's going to be interesting to see if the Hall of Fame changes. In fact, Sausage. I think I'm going to have to put this next week. That early talk is that the Hall of Fame procedure may be tweaked a little bit under the Triple H regime. You're going to see me post that. Be prepared. Sausage. WWE under the Triple H regime is good. The procedure with the Hall of Fame will be handled a little bit different. But I have to word it cute, like these websites. Like, we may not see much of a difference in front of the camera, but behind the scenes, the procedure will be somewhat different. See how easy it is to do this, everyone? You're going to start seeing websites pull that stuff. So, thank you, everyone. Great show, as always. On the way out, if you enjoyed the show, take a moment, smash that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. If you want to be a channel member, even better. And, yeah, I don't plug it here enough, but, you know, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony. You get ad-free versions of every show that I do that's outside of Patreon. Once a week, I do an extra podcast there that we get into, you know, many times non-wrestling stuff, so you get that once a week. Kev Castle is still there. Every week, he does a show. And if Patreon doesn't suit you, but you still want a little of that content, you could always join here as an elite channel member. And as an elite channel member, you get the Patreon show as a bonus here for your listening pleasure. It's not a video show. It's just audio. But and we do pay-per-view prediction contest every month over there, mostly WWE, sometimes AEW. But all right, so next week we'll do this again, and it's getting close. You know, the 2 weeks from now. Wow. Well, technically 3 weeks from now. You know, it's going to be weird. I mean, who knows? Well, actually, 3 weeks is also AEW double or not? No, All In. What am I saying? Double or not? All In. So will I do a recap that night? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm getting married the night before. So I would love to come up here the next day. We'll see. You know, I can't promise anything, but, you know, I'm not going away until the 10th. So that following week, I will be doing shows still. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. Yes, Gruss, guaranteed. Oh, one thing before I go. I have to mention this. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who let me know that Live PD is back, but it's a little different. Anybody remember Live PD? Unfortunately, the George Floyd tragedy, you know, and COVID, everything was handled differently as far as police and the way it was covered. They came back with another show. Now, it's not on whatever channel it was before. Unfortunately, it's on Reels, R-E-E-L-Z. And YouTube TV does not have Reels. You have to, like, get, like, Sling or something like that. But now it's called On Patrol Live. Is that it? I think it's called On Patrol Live. But they are back. Somebody posted on YouTube the first episode last week, And I was like, holy shit, I didn't even know they were back. And then a few of you told me, like, yeah, they're back. On Patrol Live, that is the name of the new show. It is almost identical of what Live PD was. And you know me, I'm not a gigantic fan of law enforcement. I respect the good cops, but there are asshole cops. You know, me, I don't deal with them as much as, unfortunately, a lot of other people out there. But still, the good cops do a great job. And, you know, it's always interesting to see people fucking up and, you know, seeing the way it's handled and stuff like that. So it's called On Patrol Live, if you want to go search it out. But tonight I am going to watch the Beavis and Butthead. And, hey, I may end up having to get a trial subscription of Sling just to watch On Patrol Live. But, yeah, Dan Abrams is back. Sean Stix Larson is back. I don't remember the other guy's name that was on there, the retired lieutenant. He's not on there this time around. But I watched the first episode. I loved it. It was really good. So, all right. I'm out of here. Guero G, thank you for the love on the way out. Love on the way out. That should be a song. Love on the way out. Give me some love on the way out.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.